just sang a song that said, "You said," and it's referring to different things Jesus has said in the scriptures, among which, you know, go and make disciples of all nations. You know, it is on our heart. That's why we'll be praying next Sunday, along with many other churches, for Burma. That's why we have a ministry, our mission budget, and the ministry that we support, as well as right here in our own community, like with Snack Pack and reaching out. I've heard it said that a vibrant Christian community, and that's what FTPC is, a vibrant Christian community, is never an end in itself. It is always a vibrant community on mission. And that's something we always want to keep before us. We're on mission. And that's what we see here in the text that we're going to look at this morning. Acts chapter 4. And we'll be reading towards the end of it, verses 32 through 35. Acts 4, verses 32 through 35. Let's hear the word of God as I read it. "All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need." Amen. This, my friends, what I just read is a glimpse of paradise. In the midst of a broken world, here we have a community of people following Jesus Christ, in which they share with one another, they love each other, and they love others around them. It's a glimpse of paradise. Now, to be sure, they have had their struggles right before this. And we looked at this a couple weeks ago. After the healing of the lame man in Acts 3, Peter and John were arrested by the Jewish leadership that did not believe in Jesus. And they were hauled before the Sanhedrin, the Jewish council, and they were dismissed with a threat, not only to them, but to all the Christians: do not preach anymore in the name of Jesus. And we saw how what really had been a burr under their side there was a preaching of the resurrection. And this is why everyone, not only the, you know, Jesus' followers, but the Sanhedrin, they all accepted Jesus' crucifixion. They all knew Jesus had died on the cross. But there was a huge difference in their understanding of what that meant. The Jewish leaders who didn't believe in Jesus saw that death on the cross as just punishment for a fraud. Whereas Jesus' followers, led by his disciples, saw the opposite, that his death on the cross was of Messiah, the Son of God, in human flesh, whose death was the means by which God forgives sins and reconciles sinners to himself. So the reason that the Jewish leaders didn't want preaching on the resurrection of Jesus was because if Jesus rose from the dead with an immortal body, as his followers said, that verifies everything he did on the cross. He did defeat sin and death. He was God's messenger of salvation. So they said, don't preach anymore in the name of Jesus. Don't bring up this resurrection. So what did the disciples do when they got back to the other Christians? They prayed. Not only were they under instructions to preach in the name of Jesus, they wanted to. He had transformed their lives. And what did God do? Because they prayed, God faithfully responded. The Spirit of God came upon them in power. They went out boldly proclaiming Jesus Christ crucified and risen Lord of all. And we see this beautiful glimpse of paradise. It's a beautiful picture. All is well in the church. Now, speaking of picture, I want to show you a picture here, and I'm going to ask you a question. It's not a trick question. When you see that picture, what's the picture about?
Drink.
A train. Now, most of you know train photography is a hobby of mine, so you probably think, oh, another one of Pastor Nick's train pictures. Well, it is another one of Pastor Nick's train pictures. Now, even though there's other things in the picture there, anyone, even a stranger who didn't know me, would say, oh, that's a picture of a train. Now, here's the second picture. Again, not a trick question. What's this a picture about? Okay, not just a mountain. Most of you recognize that's Mount Rainier. But it's not just a mountain. There's some woods there, a forest. There's a sky. There's a lake, a little bit of a foreground. But we all recognize that's a picture of a mountain, right? I took that picture, and I could have gone to the left or the right side and just taken a picture of the lake if I wanted the lake. But because of the angle I took it, anyone could say, oh, that's a picture of a mountain. And the rest of the picture, what it does is enhance the mountain, enhance the scenery. Now, not a trick question, but an honor system question. In the previous picture I showed, how many of you noticed Mount Rainier in the picture? Okay, just a few did. Okay, let's go back to that picture. Okay, it's there.
Where?
Just above. It's kind of hard to see, but it's just above there. Okay? It's if you look back there, it's a little easier. Everyone turns around. That's a little sharper. See it? There it is, Mount Rainier.
You need a shark picture.
Now, here's the reality. Even if it had been pretty clear, a lot of you would have missed it. Because right away when you look at that picture, it's about a train. All right? So, there it is. But, so it's there, but it's not the star of the show. It's about a train. Whereas the other one with Mount Rainier and the lake, it's very clear. That's a picture of the mountain, Mount Rainier. Okay. There's no train in the mountain picture. Now, here's this text. This text is a picture of Mount Rainier. And what I mean by that is that it's a picture of Jesus Christ. He's the mountain. And this text presents Jesus Christ as crucified, risen, Lord and Savior, and everything else about this text amplifies him. The church is Reflection Lake. If some of you have been there, that picture, the flake is Reflection Lake, well named because it reflects Mount Rainier. That's what the church is to be. We are Reflection Lake, reflecting Jesus. See, Jesus came and was the supreme illustration of selfless love as he gave himself on the cross for us. He didn't have to. He did it out of love for us to redeem us. Look what the church is doing here in this passage reflecting Jesus. In verse 32, all the believers were one in heart and mind. There's unity. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own. They shared everything they had. There's that selfless love being reflected in the community. In verse 33, they are going out and they're proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the good news of the gospel. Jesus said he came to bring the kingdom of God and the good news. The church is doing that. They're reflecting him, sharing the good news. And in verses 34 and 35, Jesus came to minister to the poor and needy. And the church, there's no needy person among them. They're sharing, they're reflecting Jesus. Think for a moment, over 2,000 years of church history, wherever the church has gone, if every congregation, wherever the church has gone, would be exactly like this. What a testimony for God's grace. Testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. However, that isn't the picture we actually see of the church. In fact, it isn't even the picture we see of the church in the book of Acts. We have here a glimpse of paradise, but it doesn't stay. Here's the good news, though. Part of the good news is that God understands. What he's always at work doing is clarifying and repairing the picture. The very next chapter in the book of Acts, which is what we looked at last week with Ananias and Sapphira, here is a couple of Christians in the church who, through greed and self-glory, marred the picture. In fact, as you look through the New Testament, in fact, the rest of the book of Acts, you never see again this brilliant picture like we have right here. And in the letters to the New Testament churches, like at Corinth and Philippi and Thessalonica, all of them have marring in their pictures. You still see Christ. You still see Mount Rainier. You still see the church alive, but there's blemishes in the picture. There's distractions in the picture. And yet, like I said, God understands that. Because it's the work of the Holy Spirit in the church and in individual Christians to bring conviction of where there are those blemishes in order to cleanse us up. And as you know, even a nice picture you have in your house, over time the dust gathers on it, you have to clean it off. When we come to the communion table, it's like an opportunity for a fresh cleansing. The Spirit of God applying the blood of Christ to us, where maybe we have been experiencing some pride and self-centeredness and bitterness or whatever it is that mars the reflection of Jesus in our lives. It says in Ephesians 5 that Christ died to make His church holy, you know, cleansed, and that He now is continuing to prepare His bride. So in other words, He is polishing up the picture. So this morning, we are going to, in a spiritual sense, clean up the picture. Clean up the reflection of Christ in our own lives, personally, as we come to the communion table. But then we're also desiring to let our ministry as FTPC to be a reflection of Christ in His love and His care. And so we're going to be praying and cleansing over the facility God has given us in our annual Lenten prayer cleansing. The communion table is open to all who put their faith in Jesus Christ alone as Lord and Savior. We come into God's presence not by what we have done, but by our belief and trust in Jesus Christ and what He has done, in dying in our place and rising from the dead. So communion here is open to all who put their faith in the Lord. You don't have to be a member of our church or of our denomination to be participating if you are trusting in Jesus. We remember that Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, when He knew He was about ready to give His life as a ransom for us, He took the bread and He broke it symbolically, saying, "This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." He also took the cup after supper. He said, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Drink it as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me." That's what we're doing here. When we come to faith in Jesus Christ, that moment, eternity is put in our hearts. The penalty of sin is resolved. It's taken away by His blood. But as long as we're here on earth, there's still the process of learning to live a life honoring Him. We do get our feet dirty, our hearts dirty. And so coming to the communion table, even though we know positionally we are forgiven by God the Father, He sees the blood of Christ over us, inwardly we still need the cleansing for where we have allowed those times of pride and unbelief and whatever it is that mars the picture of Christ in our lives. We want to set that at the foot of the cross and confess that. And trust and know that the blood of Christ is sufficient to forgive us, like Kathy read from the passage from 1 John earlier. So let's take a moment now in the quietness of our hearts, prepare us for the communion elements. And if there is anything that's marring the picture of Christ in your life, then lay it at the foot of the cross and confess that before the Lord. Gracious Heavenly Father, it is an amazing demonstration of Your love and Your mercy and grace to come to the table of our Lord and recognize that though we didn't deserve it and there's nothing we could do to earn it, You offer the gift of life eternal and all the blessings that come from trusting Jesus. So we gladly lay our sins before Your cross, Lord, and ask You by faith to cover them with Your blood and refresh us, Holy Spirit, shine us within so that we reflect Christ. And as we partake of these elements, reminding us, Lord, of your sacrifice, may they be instruments of grace to us. Again, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. As the bread is passed to you, please feel free to partake of the bread as you receive it, remembering that Jesus Christ has died for each one of us. The cup represents the blood of our Lord Jesus shed for the forgiveness of sins. By that blood, he has put us together as brothers and sisters in Christ, a family, part of the great family of God. So hold on to the cup till all have received, and we will partake of the cup together. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Let's pray together. Lord, a few minutes ago we sang, "Cleanse me." And we thank you that by your grace you cleanse us. We are seen by our loving Heavenly Father as forgiven, as restored, as righteous, all because of you, Jesus, your love and your sacrifice. And so may we go forth to serve you with humility and thanksgiving and in the power of the Spirit to proclaim the good news. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, it's been good to be together. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has come and given himself for us, and the love of God the Father who sent him, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forever. Amen.